Wow. A lamb with seven horns and seven eyes. A beast that comes out of the earth and a beast that comes out of the sea. Dragons, the four horsemen of the apocalypse, and the New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. The book of Revelation can seem really difficult to us. Some people find it intimidating. Some people find it simply confusing. Other people find it, well, what relevance has this got to our life today? Still others have been put off reading Revelation and engaging with it because of teaching that they've heard in the past that is unwisely speculative about current world events and looking to tie down the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, his second coming, to a particular date or a particular year. But actually, we shouldn't be put off, and bad interpretations shouldn't put us off really digging into the text of Revelation. It's a really exciting book. As Kate Burkett says in her All Age talk, it's a cool book, and there is wonderful, wonderful stuff for us here. And it is the route to blessing, and that should make us sit up and take notice. I wonder if you noticed that in the reading that we had. Blessed, this is verse 3, blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. Blessed are those who hear, and blessed are those who take it to heart. This is the route to God's blessing. That word blessed is a really difficult one for us to get hold of the richness of its meaning. It translates a word and a concept that is very hard to render in a single word in the English language. Some translations translate it as happiness, but that again is weak on its own. We might talk about true happiness or deep happiness as the closest we're going to get to the sense of this. Reading Revelation, engaging with its message, and taking that message to heart and living it out, that is the route to deep and true and rich and lasting happiness from God. And so let's engage with this together. And actually, it's so relevant to us today. It's relevant to the global church. It's encouraging and comforting and challenging in equal measure. It's relevant to the church in the West in the same way, and it's certainly relevant to us here in Leeds. And so, with this short series through the rest of April and May and the book of Revelation, let's really sit up and take notice of what God wants to say. Today, just a few things about the nature of God from these opening verses. There is a Trinitarian shape to these verses. The blessing comes from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, one God. We learn more about his character and the ways that he wants to bless us. And so let's plunge into this and see what we discover. First of all, we discover something about the Almighty Everlasting Father. Let's look again at verse 8. God speaks and says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, as we've heard, the first and the last letters of the Greek alphabet, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. He is the eternal Almighty God. And this actually is a description that is focused on God the Father. As we go back into verse 4, we see that these words have been used before, and they've been used as part of the Trinitarian greeting. And Jesus and the Spirit are mentioned separately, so this must be a description of God the Father, the Eternal and the Almighty God. And it was so wonderful for John's first readers or listeners to hear this, because they lived in the midst of the Roman Empire, which seemed to be all-powerful and seemed to be eternal. At least that was the claim. There is some graffiti on Roman remains in Ephesus that says this: "Rome, your power will never end." Whether that was something that someone wrote because they were really scared, or because they were celebrating the Roman Empire, we don't know. But "Rome, your power will never end." And so it seemed with a surface reading of the situation. Some of you may know this, that Rome in itself was known as the Eternal City. It's an extraordinary claim. And yeah, people at the day saw all the great symbols of imperial power, and they thought this would never end. But they needed to be reminded that what they see is not what's eternal. And Christians needed to be reminded that actually it is their God who is eternal, their God who is and who was and is to come, the eternal God who is all powerful, who is active in history, and one day will make all things new. That is the eternal perspective. That is real eternity. The Roman Empire, well, it came and it went. Other empires, they have come and they have gone. Communism, which seemed to loom so large in Eastern Europe and the former Soviet Union, people thought it would never end, but it came and it went. You might think about global capitalism and the way that it can oppress the poor. There's nothing wrong with trade that benefits all, but there is this great oppressive system that is unjust, and that sense of greed that is all pervasive. But that will come and it will go. What does the psalmist say? Kingdoms may rise, kingdoms may fall, nations refuse to hear God's call, but the word of the Lord endures forevermore. I once had the privilege of teaching in Prague at the International Baptist Theological Seminary, and they have this extraordinary suite of buildings. And when you dig into the history, you find that actually these buildings used to be used in the communist era by the East German, by the Czech secret police. Sorry, it's in Prague, which is in old Czechoslovakia, used to be used by the Czech secret police, and it was a place where those who were against the communist regime were taken, they were questioned. It was a place of fear, a place almost certainly of torture. But then this great suite of buildings that seemed to be permanent, seemed to be eternal, were taken over by Christians and used in God's service. There's a parable there that fits this passage. It is not the regimes of this world that are eternal. It is not the systems that we set up. Rather, God is all powerful and he is eternal. People in Rome needed to be reminded of that. People in the communist era need to be reminded of that. We also need to be reminded of that when we feel beleaguered, when we feel that nothing much is happening, when we feel that what we see around us, the systems of oppression and injustice, the lack of Christian faith, the secularism, when we feel that these things are eternal and growing, God says no. God's word says no. Revelation 1 says no. It says that our Father is almighty and he is the eternal one. And so that's the first thing. God, the Father, almighty. If we're on the Lord's side, then although it may not always seem like it, we are on the victory side, the almighty Father. And then the all-seeing, ever-present Spirit. Verse 4 to 5, we have this Trinitarian greeting. And in the midst of this, we have something about the seven spirits before the throne, or a possible translation is the sevenfold Spirit. And we see that it's a reference to the Holy Spirit, but we also see from the rest of the scripture that the Holy Spirit is one person. He is a person who is part of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God. And so why this reference to seven or to sevenfold? This takes us into an understanding of the genre of writing that is Revelation. It's prophetic, it is a letter to churches, but it's also apocalyptic, and that is a form of Jewish writing that is highly symbolic. It uses symbols and imagery to convey truth. And here is our first introduction to it, because yes, absolutely, there is just one Holy Spirit, but seven, as Kate has already said, is a crucial number in the book of Revelation. You have seven churches, seven seals, seven trumpets. The structure of the book is based around the number seven. And here you have the seven spirits of God. And the number seven refers to perfection. It is the perfect number, possibly because of the 7 days of creation, the 6 days in which God worked, plus the one in which he rested. There is something perfect about the number seven. And so we see here that the Holy Spirit is absolutely perfect. And we see that he is before the throne. And we see also that as the book of Revelation unfolds, he is with the seven churches. And so the presence of God, the throne of God, is mediated or shared with the churches through the Holy Spirit, who is perfect, who is all present and all seeing. And I find this a huge encouragement and a comfort. And I want to put the pause button on and just apply this to our lives and to say for us as a church, as we go through challenges and joys and opportunities, we are not alone. The Holy Spirit is present with us. The different sites, the different gatherings, the different activities that we engage in, we are not alone. The perfect, all-seeing, ever-present Holy Spirit is with us to lead and guide and overrule and strengthen and comfort. As we go out as the church scattered during the week, as people go into workplaces and homes and communities, as you engage in that really difficult job that God has given you to do, as you engage with colleagues who you find it hard to work with, as you struggle with a difficult task, you know that God has called you to kingdom work on the front line, and yet it's hard. You are not alone. The perfect sevenfold Spirit is within you and is working through you and is working in your situation. He is ever present and he is all seeing. Whatever your situation, whatever you're waking up to on Monday morning or Wednesday morning or Wednesday evening or whenever it may be, that difficult meeting, that difficult engagement, God is with you. You are not alone. facing that illness, either for yourself or for a friend. Perhaps it's something physical, perhaps it's mental struggles that may or may not be related to lockdown. You are not alone. The sevenfold Spirit, the Holy Spirit, mediates the presence of God to you just when you need it. He is with you. Just want to encourage you to be conscious of that in the week that lies ahead. Perhaps in those difficult moments to send up an arrow prayer for God. God, I know you're with me. Work in this situation. Help me in this situation. To pray in advance, to pray for colleagues and family members. Bring it to God and the Holy Spirit, who is present and active and perfect, will work in your life, will work in your situation and bring glory to God in and through you. The perfect Holy Spirit, who is all present, the sevenfold Spirit, the seven spirits of God, who is all seeing. And then finally today, the crucified, commissioning Son. This is verses 5 to 6. There are so many things that could be picked out here. I just want to highlight two as we bring this to a close. First of all, there is the challenge to personal holiness. He has freed us from our sins by his blood. Jesus has died for us. His blood has been shed and we are freed from sin. And that relates to forgiveness. If you need to know God's forgiveness in your life, reach out to him now. Jesus has done everything for you and the penalty for sin has been paid. Whatever you've done, however you've messed up, wherever you've gone wrong, there is no one beyond the reach of the love of God. So come to him now and know forgiveness from the penalty of sin. But that phrase, freedom from sin, certainly means that, but it means more than that. Because we are freed from the penalty and the power of sin, and we are to grow in holiness. How is God challenging you about your life? A while ago, a number of my friends put on Facebook their cover pictures, the words "live differently," and there was like a picture that went with that. And yeah, I found it a great challenge. How am I different? How am I living differently in my inner life, in my personal relationships, in the way that I lead? That sort of 360 degree take on the Christian life, the inner and the outer dimensions of holiness. And these are such big things, and God challenges us about them all the time. But I want to make this specific and real and just ask the question, you know, is there one thing that you can take away from this as you reflect and pray about your own journey in holiness? Something about integrity, something about who you are in the dark, something about who you are in the workplace. Maybe there is that habit, that struggle that you've had, and you know that you're not reflecting Jesus. And right now, as we think about these things together, God is challenging you on this particular issue of holiness. As we come to God in prayer at the end of that message, I just have a time of quiet where we can lift that to our God and we can pray, firstly for his forgiveness, but secondly for his strength. He has freed us by his blood from the penalty of sin. Yes, let's rejoice in that, but also from the power of sin. Yes, also let's press into that and know that he's changing us. And finally, we are called to be a kingdom and a group of priests together. We believe in the priesthood of all believers. to be a priest. Jesus is our great high priest and he is our model here, but he has called us to be his people, all of us. This isn't for a special group of people. This isn't for ministers, vicars, whatever. This is for all of us. We are together a kingdom of priests. And what do priests do? Well, they share, they mediate the presence of God to others. We are the hands and feet of Jesus. We are his mouthpiece. We are the ones who can share his love. Yes, that can come to us directly by the Holy Spirit, but often the Spirit uses us to share the love of God with others. How is he calling you to do that in the week ahead? Again, maybe think of one or two people. Might be a family member, might be a work colleague, might be a neighbour, might be someone that you meet in the community, someone that God has placed on your heart. It may be that you feel a special prompting to pray for one of our overseas missionaries this week. If so, then it's your opportunity to be part of a kingdom and to be part of the priesthood of all believers in bringing that person, that family before God in prayer. Work it out practically in your day-to-day life. Work it out in your prayer life. Again, just think of one or two things that you can change, that you can put into place so that you can make a difference in the week ahead. So we believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Almighty Father, the perfect sevenfold Spirit, and Jesus who was crucified and commissions us to go out. Let's go out now in the power of the Holy Spirit to live and work to the glory of God. As I said, I'm just going to lead in prayer and just encourage you to join with me as we pray these thoughts into our lives. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. We worship you for the book of Revelation. Thank you that it's powerful. Thank you that it's vivid and full of life and colour. And thank you that it's practical and real for us today. Right now, we thank you, eternal, almighty Father, that you are in control. That if we're on the Lord's side, we're on the victory side. Lord, sometimes it doesn't seem quite like that, and we need to be reminded of it. Thank you for reminding us through these words in Revelation today. Help us to hold this vision, this truth, this hope in our hearts as we go out into the week ahead. And yes, Lord, thank you that we don't go out alone. Thank you that the sevenfold Spirit, the perfect, all-seeing Holy Spirit, the all-encompassing Holy Spirit is with us, is within us, and is working. Lord, we thank you for the comfort and the encouragement of his presence. And Lord, we thank you for the crucified and commissioning Son. And we pray that we would be freed from the power of sin, that our old selves would be crucified with Jesus on the cross. And yes, we do just pause now and ask you, Lord, just to highlight something of our lives that you want us to change. And Lord God, send us out to be your hands and feet, to be your eyes and ears, to be your mouthpieces, to be those who mediate your love in a variety of practical ways, through word and deed, through lip and life. Strengthen us, show us the way, show us one or two people that we can do that with in the week ahead. May we glorify you. Be glorified in us and through us, we pray, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.